Finding suitable mental health medications can be a challenge. The GeneSight test may help. Did you know that genetics can play an important role in gaining insight on how a person may respond to various medications? Understanding this may help reduce medication trial and error. GeneSight is a genetic test that analyzes variations in DNA. It shows how genes may affect someone's metabolism or response to medications commonly prescribed to treat depression, anxiety, and other mental health conditions. Visit GeneSight.com for more information.
Today on the Callahan Show, well, the war in Afghanistan may be over, but another war is about to begin. I think Joe Biden's going to declare war on the unvaccinated. That's what's going to happen, and we're going to be we're all going to be going after the unvaccinated. You know, like Turtle Boy, we will talk to him about that, how it feels to be marginalized and ostracized for his choice to be unvaccinated. We'll talk about the two biggest sellouts in American history, Howard Stern and Jimmy Kimmel, who are doing the bidding of the Biden regime. Larry Elder, candidate for governor of California, was attacked by a woman in a gorilla mask, threw an egg at him. The media is largely ignoring it, but just imagine if the roles were reversed, what a big story that would be. Big game tonight. NFL starts, Tom Brady versus the Cowboys, and we'll make our picks. Carano and I will make our picks and our predictions for the big Bucks-Cowboys matchup. We'll get into that and a lot more. Today's Callahan Show brought to you by DCU. Do you love your car but hate your car payment? No problem. Refinance your car today with DCU, and they can help lower your monthly payment, lower your interest rate, or both. Applying is easy, and their loan experts will help you find the loan term and the payment that fits into your budget. Get out of that high-rate loan and get the interest rate and the payment you deserve from DCU. Learn more and apply today at dcu.org/refinance. Insured by NCUA. Membership required. All right, Carano, let's go.
This is the Jerry Callahan Podcast.
All right, this is going to be a very interesting day here in the hopelessly divided United States of America. I'm looking forward to it personally because at 2 p.m. today, actually not 2 p.m., about 3:30 when Joe Biden shows up for his 2 p.m. speech, maybe 4 o'clock, when he shuffles out onto the stage with his mask on and then dramatically pulls the mask off and steps in front of the mic and reads something like, I'm supposed to say hello to everybody now, I guess. And then he goes into a speech. You know what he's going to do, Carano?
What's he going to do?
He's going to declare war on Turtle Boy, on our guy Turtle Boy. He's going to blame Turtle Boy for the deaths of 600,000 Americans, of 4 million people around the globe. He's going to blame Turtle Boy for what's, anything wrong with the, that's gone wrong with the economy. It's all going to be Turtle Boy's fault. Today,
I'm used to it.
Today, our president will divide the nation like no president has ever divided the nation. I mean, you'd have to go, I don't know, to some other country to find something like we're going to see today. Maybe, Germany in the 30s. No, we don't have to go that far. We'll go Australia. We're going to become Australia today. And I will tell you why, because he's going to blame everything on the unvaccinated. It's all going to be the fault of the unvaccinated, which they tried to make that out to be Trump people, Trump, you know, West Virginia, Trump guys, red hats, pickup trucks. And then the numbers came out and the stats and the tallies of all the vaccinated versus the unvaccinated. And it wasn't really Trump people. It wasn't really rural West Virginians. It was African Americans. It was skeptical young Hispanics and black people. I think the number is up to 40% of black people in the country are vaccinated, which means, do the quick math, 60% are not. Those 60% will be the target of Joe Biden's speech today, as will Turtle Boy. I know you're used to it, Turtle Boy, but
today, imagine that. That'd be so cool if Jen Psaki blamed me.
Just named you right out in the conference.
It's like things were going fine until that guy with his blog in central Massachusetts came along and he screwed everything up. We were going to crush the virus, remember?
And the rhetoric, I mean, he's going to inflame people. He's going to inflame the situation, I should say. And he is going to inspire people to become even more vitriolic toward you and your kind. Turtle Boy, this is going to be the most divisive speech we've ever heard a U.S. president make, because he's not going to talk about, America versus whatever, terrorists, or he's going to talk about Americans versus Americans. And we already know there's real animosity toward the unvaccinated. Even, most people who talk about it don't look at the numbers. They don't understand how the virus affects people, and it's mainly obese people, old people who are dying. They're going to say it's all your fault. It's all unvaccinated. They're already at the point, Turtleboy, where they're saying, if not for you people, you unvaccinated people, we would have this under control.
And it's not just uneducated people. It's people you would have expected to, gone through life, had some education. There are people who are on major talk shows at night, even who are saying that exact same stuff.
We will get to the people who would be happy if the United States became Australia, if we became the kind of police state that puts unvaccinated people in camps, in internment camps, that denies them the right to leave their house or participate in society. There are more of them now. There are more people are coming to grips with this division, this deep divide. And they're believing the rhetoric that if we didn't have people who were still unvaccinated, we'd be fine. Everyone would be fine. There'd be though people who are vaccinated are getting COVID.
Look at Israel.
Look at the numbers in Israel. They don't care. It's like an easy scapegoat. It's like an easy way to find, to identify someone to blame. And there are people who have a good reason to not be vaccinated. Young people, healthy people, people in good shape, people who all have already had the virus and have natural immunity, people who have medical reasons, people who are afraid of the side effects. There are little, even I guess religious objections. I don't really understand that.
You know what my objection is, Jerry, at this point?
Yeah, you're solid.
Solidarity with the unvaccinated. That's really what I'm doing. Like I could get vaccinated. I could just go and do it. I mean, what do I care? It's like, I'm not afraid of the vaccine or whatever, but I'm seeing what's happening in front of my eyes to those who are not vaccinated and the type of discrimination and segregation they're going to face. I'm not going to, sell out and enjoy join the majority and oppress the minority. I won't do that. I will stand with my fellow man. I will stand with the unvaccinated, and I will be a symbolic. It's the least I could do.
You're going to stand with the kids too. How are they going to demonize a lot? All the kids are not vaccinated.
Right. Over 12, you're eligible, correct? You're eligible. And I would never, ever tell if my kids were, 14, I would never want them vaccinated. That's insane. But that's going to be the message today. And I think it's going to be pretty scary. I mean, it'll be clumsy. It'll be awkward. He'll say stupid thing. He'll lose track. But then Psaki will come out and answer the questions. And she was pretty clear yesterday. Psaki said, they asked about, will you be, coming, I forget the question, kind of taking rights away from people or something like that. And she said, depends if you're vaccinated or not. And she said it glibly, and she walked away. So the message will be clear that, and I think it'll be pressuring, private sector businesses to not allow unvaccinated people in schools, to not allow kids in school if they're unvaccinated. You see the story out of New Jersey, a Rutgers kid doesn't want to get vaccinated. He's young, he's like 19, you could see him, he's healthy looking. They won't allow him to take virtual classes. He's not allowed to sit at home in front of his laptop by himself, because it's not about stopping the spread or stopping him from getting. It's about dividing and conquering these people. And it is a little scary. I don't think we've reached the point they're at in Australia or New Zealand or some other places. But when you have this kind of rhetoric, and I know you've talked about it, Turtle Boy, and tweeted about it, this kind of rhetoric where you clearly blame a group of people, marginalize a group of people, that's how, civil wars start. That's how internment camps start. And we've talked about the camps in Australia. You can see them. There are photos.
How about just the camps? How about the camps during World War II in the United States, the Japanese? I mean, what was the rationale for interning them? Is they made everyone else feel less safe.
Right.
Good point. Could not, and that's the same thing. the unvaccinated make people feel unsafe. Therefore, they should be put in camps.
I was watching, it was like a week ago, The Five, you know, one of my favorite shows, The Five, when it was better when Juan Williams was on there and they could fight and there was genuine tension. But they try to have a token liberal in his seat. And there's some good ones and some bad, like Harold Ford Jr. is terrible because he doesn't want to fight. Geraldo is good because he's crazy. So Geraldo thinks he's asking a rhetorical question to the panel. He says, what if you're in there talking about vaccinated versus unvaccinated and all this? And his question to the panel was, what would you think if you were on an airplane, you were seated and someone walks on the plane and you know they're unvaccinated? What would you think? And everyone looks at him, literally, you know, like Jesse Waters and Gutfeld look at him and go, I wouldn't care. I'm vaccinated. What do I care? He doesn't make the neck, you know, the leap to the thought that if I'm vaccinated, I'm masked up, I'm good. I don't care about that guy. They've essentially eliminated that that answer in people's minds.
The breakthroughs, right. Jerry, the breakthroughs.
So right. I was on a Zoom call yesterday and with a few people.
They wanted to know vaccination status.
I was going
to
say, no, but one of them was wearing a mask.
No.
I'm like, where are you going to contract it from? What are you doing? So that's the next level is they'll make me, you know, show my vax card in order to enter the Zoom from now on.
You see reporters doing that now. I mean, obviously crazy. They're virtue signaling.
On a Zoom call?
On a Zoom call.
I'm more offended by that than I am by what Jeffrey Toobin does on Zoom calls.
Tell me about it.
I went to a grocery store yesterday and I didn't have a mask. I said, please don't have, and I didn't have to. It was about half and half in the store, people masked and unmasked. But then that's another story. We're going to start having the mask fanatics, you know, the people, the mask bullies that will be ashamed. And Turtle Boy will be writing about it, that's for sure, because there's such tension in the air in some places where if you don't have your mask on, you're right. They look at you like, you know, you're Japanese and it's, you know, 1942 in San Francisco. And they look at you, oh, it could be one of the enemy, you know?
Yeah, I mean, it's like showing up to, you know, Logan Airport with, you know, hijab on in October of 2001. You're going to get those kind of looks when you go in there. It's like, well, you know, you're not breaking the law yet, but we all got our eye on you.
But I'll tell you the difference, Turtle Boy, that why that is a flawed analogy is because if you said something to the woman in the hijab or the guy, the Muslim looking individual, you'd get arrested, charged with a hate crime. I mean, they had to make up Islamophobia, as we always say. The supply didn't meet the demand after 9/11. So they had to make up, you know, your typical New York Times and Washington Post and CNN said, oh, there's a rise in Islamophobia, when there really wasn't. So they had to make it up. This case, if you go into an airport or even a grocery store in some places without a mask, you're going to get ostracized.
It used to be that I know this is going to sound maybe a little bit crazy to your viewers, but I used to sometimes I carry. It's my constitutional right to. And I would always prefer to open carry as opposed to conceal, because I think it's a more honest approach to the world. And it's a bit of activism, too, because if people get kind of used to seeing normal people doing it, then they're less afraid of it. Well, that's what masking is now. Me not wearing a mask is now my activism.
But we always go back to the question we've asked for over a year. Like, if you're masked and you're vaccinated, what the hell are you worried about? Even if you get COVID, we don't, and unless you're 900 pounds, you're going to be fine. We know that.
It's a mental disease is what's going on.
No, you're absolutely right. This is a mental virus at this point. It has been for quite some time. These are smart people. These are not stupid people who are thinking along these lines and just not thinking logically at all. Like, wait a minute, I'm vaccinated. And they've just convinced themselves like, oh, but okay, but the vaccine works. I can't say the vaccine doesn't work. So the vaccine works, but it only works if you're also vaccinated. That's what they've convinced themselves. Well, therefore, you must be vaccinated.
Well, a couple questions for you, Turtle Boy. Have you started the business of the fake vaccine cards yet? We were wondering, you know, do you have like a 900 number set up? Is it in your merch?
I saw
merch
a
shop?
Bunch of arrests after I talked about this a week or so ago. So what was happening now is I get a lot of emails about it now, and I may or may not send out a PDF saying this is for educational purposes only. Whatever you do not print this out and forge it. you should get vaccinated because Dr. Fauci is smarter than you.
I predicted you'd end up in a cell with Jacob Chansley in D.C. You'll end up in the deplorable jail. You make fake vaccine cards. You are going to be punished severely. Again, we know there's a two-tier justice system in this country, and the people making vaccine cards are going to become the public enemy number one soon. I mentioned the girl.
Which is ridiculous.
The woman who got busted going to Hawaii with a fake vaccine card because she spelled Moderna wrong on the thing. I'll bet she does jail time. She's young. She just wanted to go to Hawaii, have a good time. I'll bet she'll do a month. It's going to be ridiculous. Get ready for it. But my other question to you, Turtle Boy, is what would it take to get you vaccinated? I'm going to guess Joe Biden today is not going to convince you. He's not going to persuade you.
You know what it would take? An actual virus that presented a legitimate threat to me.
Let's not be ridiculous. I mean, that doesn't matter. That we all know it doesn't really matter about the virus. This is all for show. This is all for theater. You're young. You're healthy. You're a runner. You're not in any danger. By the way,
Doing that race? When's the race, Jerry?
The race is a week from Sunday, the Sunday the 19th.
Okay. Can I sign up? Is it too late to sign up for that?
No, it's not too late. No, you can sign up.
Okay, I tweeted out the link again from the show account yesterday. It's easy to get to.
Just Google Step Up for Colleen. 5K, Sunday, September 19th.
9 a.m.
A big live show afterwards. I don't know if you heard this. Big live show. Is this...
I get to be on?
And it's free, right? Are they charging?
No.
I want my cut if they are. Definitely go. You'll be one more person who leaves me in the dust. Turtle Boy's a runner. He's gonna finish front of the pack.
Yeah, a little bit.
On Team Minahan, you might even win it, for crying out loud. I know you're a big Jesse Kelly fan, as am I. He's really good on Twitter, and he's tweets about this, as do you, that this is dangerous. We're getting to this point where we're dividing people and we're blaming a pandemic that killed 600,000 people on a certain segment of society. And he's had COVID. He had it last week. He did a show with COVID. He just stayed home, did it remotely. He said his whole family had it. A couple days later, they're fine. And he said flat out, I will never, ever, ever get vaccinated, which is going to be the challenge for the Biden regime and for local public officials who are even more tyrannical. You know, the local, the blue state governors, blue city mayors, who have some, like de Blasio, have come out and flat out said they want to mandate it, force people, like hold them down like they did in certain places, like go door to door, give them the jab against their will. That has to be that will be the eventual policy, because people like you, Jesse Kelly, and so many others, I mean, NFL guys, Kirk Cousins, these people say, no, I'm not doing it. They are sitting there in their quiet moments behind the scenes, you know, when Joe's taking a nap, the people running this country, the Susan Rices and the Barack Obamas and Ron Klains, and they're saying, how do we get the end game? The end game, the goal is to get everyone vaccinated, even people who we will force to do against their will. That they're coming up with a way right now, a strategy to get you, to get, you know, Jesse Kelly, to get people like that vaccinated against their will. How will that work exactly?
Well, the TSA is one of them, so you won't be able to travel by plane.
That's a good point.
Because they already have the infrastructure of the TSA.
So they're going to come up. You're not going to be able to fly, Turtle Boy. You're not going to be able to shop. You're not going to be able to, you know, ride the, you know, an Uber or subway or anything, public transportation, nothing. What will it take how will we get to the point where you throw up your arms or throw up your sleeves and say, I give up?
I think flying is the big one. The other stuff you can get around, because, I mean, the Uber is never going to be able to tell if you're vaccinated or not. I mean, you can easily just have a freaking fake card. You should have seen Lollapalooza, people getting with their vaccine cards there. Watch the videos. Anyone could just walk in. But the planes are where people are going to start to cave, because you're going to need, like, to get to California. If you need to get to California for something, you ain't driving.
Right.
You'd be like, fuck it. I'll just get the stupid vaccine.
I mean, that's you're not going to want to drive. I mean, if you're a flight to, you know, Washington, D.C., I mean, you don't want to drive. Yeah. I mean, that's like a 10-hour drive as opposed to a 45-minute flight. You're going to say, screw it. Just give me the shot. At some point...
That's what's going to get people to cave, is the planes. It's the airlines all buying together.
Candace Owen, by the way, another person who says flat out, I will never, ever, ever get vaccinated. She's already been discriminated against. She tried to get a test, a COVID test, and the clinic in Denver said no. And the reason was they didn't like her politics. This is dangerous stuff to say, let me see. Oh, you're Candace Owen?
Like Jesse said, it's like, you're not going to like how this ends. You should really stop, because you're going to get somebody hurt. You're going to make people feel ostracized and desperate. You don't want ostracized, desperate people, because they start to rebel. Like, that's what happened. I mean, in Europe in the 1930s, when Nazis came into countries and took over, ostracized, desperate people didn't just give up. They blew up railroad lines. They started to hunt Nazis. They formed resistance movements. You're not going to like what comes next. Trust me.
Right, before Turtle Boy goes and forms his resistance movement, which he's going to do.
I'm
going to do. We got to get to the people who make me nervous. And I'll tell you why. Because these are influential people, and they're looking at Australia or New Zealand and saying, yeah, we should do that here. And I'm not talking about de Blasio. We know de Blasio. We know Newsom.
Yeah, the crazy ones are.
We know they would be all for internment camps. They'd be all for forced vaccines, mandates for everything and everyone. I'm talking about Howard Stern and Jimmy Kimmel. These two buddies, the two biggest sellouts in the history of American entertainment. Howard Stern ran for governor as a libertarian. He wanted to bring back the death penalty, and with the corpses of people who were executed, he wanted to fill in the potholes. He wanted to, you know, go. He was a complete, and as we all know, complete rebel. You know, he wanted to stop any big government program. I mean, he was Howard Stern. Now Howard Stern has turned into Joy Behar. It's really sad to listen to him. I actually listened to him for a while yesterday, and he had Steve Martin and Martin Short on, and he was frustrated with them because they're not political. They don't want to be political. They don't want to get it. And he wants to rail against DeSantis and Abbott and anybody who won't get vaccinated. That's his thing now. He's become the leading voice of the tyrannical left.
Of the establishment.
Of the establishment. And Jimmy Kimmel, another complete pathetic sellout. To just listen to this guy is embarrassing. I mean, he used to be, you know, this rebel, you know, bad boy, host of the man show, funny guy. He's not the least bit funny. His show is completely tanking. He's got no ratings, but he's become the ultimate Karen. It's sit there and just and point fingers at these evil, you know, unvaccinated people. He won't, you know, target, you know, African Americans or illegal aliens. As someone was pressing him on Twitter yesterday saying, do you think illegal aliens who don't get vaccinated should be denied a hospital bed? And he won't answer that because I think we know the answer. But this is their thing now. Deny them a hospital bed. Think of that. So someone's sick and they don't.
They're not hiding it. They want you to die. They hate you. They want to punish you.
No, you. It's not me. You, Turtle Boy. They want you to die.
Yes, they do. They want people like me. Like, this is just. They've declared war a long time ago, and it's best that, you know, that our side, like Ron DeSantis, is the only Republican governor who seems to realize this, and he has declared war on them. It's not enough to just simply be Kristi Noem and say, well, it's up to private, it's a private business. They can do whatever they want. No, as a governor, as a Republican governor, every Republican governor should be telling business, it is illegal to ask your employees to make your employees get vaccinated. It is not enough just to say, you're a business, you can do whatever you want. You must demand that they don't do that, don't discriminate.
And it is, again, it's easy, you know, when Gavin Newsom or one of these, de Blasio, one of these clowns says all that, you know, totalitarian stuff. But then you have Howard Stern, the biggest, I don't know, iconoclast rebel in the history ever. And he's completely in the tank for these measures. He won't even hear. He won't even talk. I mean, you could never have someone like on his show who would disagree and say, that's insane. No. That's un-American. He would kick him up.
What's Rage Against the Machine up to these days?
That's a good question.
Think of musicians. Like, the government is using musicians. They had some chick in there I've never heard before, you know, go with Joe Biden last month and, you know, get vaccinated. I've never heard some pop star or something. The pop stars are all going along with this. The musicians are all going along with this. It wasn't that long ago where music was supposed to be the art of rebellion and speaking out against the government and the counterculture and the voice of the unheard. Now they've become the voice of the establishment. Right, right.
It's a great question. Rage Against the Machine has become a manservant for the machine. They are 100% in on forced vaccines, mandates, masks, you name it. The rebels, I guess there are a few out there. Eric Clapton, Van Morrison, Johnny Rotten. There's a few old rebels left, but for the most part, these alleged, counterculture guys are completely in the tank for the current culture, which is, blame the unvaccinated, blame the unmasked, blame Trump people for everything. And I can't tell you how disappointing it is. I hate listened to Stern yesterday. I hate him now. He used to be so good, so funny, just such a bad boy. And now listening to Stern is, again, like watching The View, or it's like watching Don Lemon.
He's a pussy. That's all he is. These people, they just sell out. It's not just about money. It's about being invited to the cocktail. He's got money. He wants to be invited to the cocktail parties. He doesn't want to become Candace Owens. He doesn't want to become a pariah.
He doesn't want any. He also wants to have his show, to have people on his show that wouldn't go on him, 20 years ago, wouldn't spit on him. He wants to be their pals. He wants to be Jennifer Aniston's pal Don Lemon or Chris Cuomo or Andrew Cuomo. He wants to be buddies with these people, with the Hollywood crowd, Hillary Clinton. It's disgusting what has happened to the once great king of all media. But let's, before we say goodbye to Turtle Boy, because he's got to go to a meeting of the unvaccinated. They have meetings now, and they plan their strategy. It's going to get wild. Let's listen to Stern and Kimball, the two most pathetic sellouts I've ever seen. They don't want you. It's not even, by the way, I thought it was don't deny them a bed when they get COVID. It's not denying them a bed when they get COVID. It's denying them a bed if they get anything.
Oh, yeah.
Even if they get anything. Yeah, if they get cancer, heart attack, if they break their leg, if you're not vaccinated, they don't want to treat you. Now, they will never say, let's not treat smokers and let's not treat obese people who put themselves in this bad condition. They won't do that. It's just about stigmatizing. It's about putting like a gold star on this one segment of society, the people who are reluctant to get vaccinated. But listen to these two sellouts.
As far as I remember, when I went to school, you had to get a measles vaccine. You had to get a mumps vaccine. You had to get, there was a ton of them you got.
You still
polio.
Have to. In order to go to school, you have to have certain vaccines.
When are we going to stop putting up with the idiots in this country and just say, it's mandatory to get vaccinated. Fuck them. Fuck their freedom. I want my freedom to live.
What a pussy. What an absolute pussy.
And he goes on forever about it. And by the way, I'm so tired of that argument. Kids got the measles. Kids got the mumps. They could hurt them. They don't get COVID. If they get it, it doesn't hurt them. They're not the problem here. Maybe the next pandemic will hurt children, may affect children. This one does not. The idea that you would want a child, a first grader, to get an injection when they don't need it is insane to me. But it doesn't matter. There's no reasoning. There's no debating. It's just, here's how it is. Screw you. Screw these people. Screw their freedom. That's what Arnold Schwarzenegger said, too. So Stern is echoing Arnold, saying, screw your freedom. Your freedom to not get medical treatment that you don't think you need. And you have your reasons, obviously. And he says, screw that. So I assume he thinks we just want to literally hold you down and force you, I guess. Is that what he's saying? What is your solution if you're Stern or Kimmel or whoever, Newsom, de Blasio, whoever, one of these fanatical vaccine guys, and people still say no? Even if you say you're not going to fly or you're not going to go to a store or a mall, and they still say no, what do you do?
No, these people want to force you to do stuff. They are okay with using violence in order to get their way. And maybe part of it is they're scared. But I think another part of it is they just want to control people. But to your point on Rage Against the Machine, they're socialists, though. And so at the time, the government wasn't as big or as socialist as it is now. It's really grown a lot since their heyday in the 90s.
No.
It really has. And so now they're parroting.
No, Your Honor,
the government.
It's this simple. I will explain it to you. It's this simple. They were ready to rage against the machine from 2016 to 2020. And they were ready to rage against the machine from 2000 to 2008. And in 3.5 years, if, Ron DeSantis beats Kamala Harris, they'll be ready to rage against the machine again. They're just, you know, Democrat stooges. That's all that matters. If this were a Republican, Trump saying, you know, you got to get vaccinated or we're not going to let you on airplanes, they would be saying, oh, screw that. That the man's not. They're just partisan hacks is what they are. Just like Stern, just like Kimmel. That's what they are. They're Trump hating partisan hacks whose whole their vision has been clouded by their hate for Trump. And now their hate for DeSantis and Abbott and a few others. And you know, for Candace Owen and for Larry Elder, who we'll get to. But it's amazing to me that I don't know if Stern listens to himself ever when he's, you know, off painting or saving little kitties and puts on, you know, his show, puts on the replays. But how must that feel to know that you were the biggest rebel? You were the biggest troublemaker and the biggest rabble rouser out anywhere in the whole country. You were the man. People flocked to you because they liked that you were so defiant, that you took on politicians, that you took on, you know, hacks or you know, the Joy Behars of the world, these partisan hacks. As Artie Lang, obviously he's embarrassed to see what happened to his former colleague and friend, and he points out one day what Stern was saying, how funny like James Corden is. With the karaoke thing in the car, and he's saying, "What?" He goes, you know, 20 years ago, we would be destroying James Corden, mocking him, and now he's saying how funny he is. I mean, Howard Stern actually had Ellen on and said, "I love when you dance."
Yeah, he disowned himself of who he was in the past. I think he did a lot of therapy, and he just stopped wanting to be an outsider rebel and wanted to be included. He wanted to be one of the beautiful people. He's an awkward-looking guy. He's a goofy guy, and he's been confrontational his entire life. He got tired of it, and now he thinks he's evolved.
Now he has a house in the Hamptons, and they have nice parties out there in the summertime, and a house in Palm Beach, and they have great parties down there, you know, over the holidays, and he wants to be invited, and he wants to have, you know, Billy Joel over for dinner. He used to be the guy who would mock the guy who did that, and now he is the guy, and I guess I can't blame him. We all have our price, and he's making a fortune. He makes whatever, $100 million a year. But it just must be embarrassing to look in the mirror or to listen to the guy he's become.
He's either embarrassed about what he's become or what he was. But either way, he's feeling shame about himself.
That's a good point. Maybe he looks back and says, I was so mean. I was so crazy. I can't believe. I mean, and I guess he thought was the only way he could survive. And he may be right in cancel culture, because Howard Stern used to use the F slur for gay people all the time. He used to use the N word. In fact, there's a clip when he goes on The View and says, no, I never used the N-word. I never did. And then someone put a little montage together of him using the N-word literally. I mean, he dressed as in blackface with a black, you know, the Amos and Andy dialect. So maybe he thought that would bring him down if he didn't change his ways and didn't try to ingratiate himself, you know, with the establishment, with the beautiful people. But he's gone all in, man. It's just so disappointing. I was nowhere near as big a fan of Jimmy Kimmel, but I used to think he was funny. He's not even a little funny. He's not even trying to be funny anymore. Let's listen to Kimmel. And by the way, the dead giveaway for once someone who's not just a complete establishment stooge and toady, but is dishonest, is when they mock ivermectin or mock Joe Rogan and call it horse. Stern calls it horse dewormer. You see it, people on CNN and NBC, they're lying. They know it's for humans. They know the guy who invented it for humans won the Nobel Prize. And they're afraid, I think, they're afraid it works because Joe Rogan got better in 2 days. But they try to disparage it and call it horse medicine.
The warmer.
Kimmel calls it horse goo.
That's
take
right.
Horse goo. See, that's dishonest. That's lying to you. That is lying to you. They know it is not horse medicine, but they say it is because the people taking it might not be vaccinated and they might be, you know, enemies of the state. And this is one thing Kimmel and Stern can't tolerate It is enemies of the state, enemies of the establishment. They are so all in with the establishment. I guarantee you they're both, I didn't hear him talk about it. I guarantee they're both all in on not recalling Gavin Newsom, the worst governor in the world. They know California is a mess, but he's the establishment. He's, you know, literally one of the beautiful people, and that's their team. That's their side, which is amazing how far those two have fallen. But let's listen to Kimmel. I'm sure nobody watched him, but his thing now is ranting and raving against the unvaccinated.
Seems so tough to me. Vaccinated person.
Hold on. I don't know how you missed the beginning of that. He says, the president says this is a tough decision to make. That's what he says. And he picks up from there by saying, I don't think it's that tough.
Doesn't seem so tough to me. Vaccinated person having a heart attack? Yes, come right on in. We'll take care of you. Unvaccinated guy who gobbled horse goo? Rest in peace, Wheezy.
Rest in peace, Wheezy.
What does that even mean? Is he talking about moving on up with what's the show? Is that who he's referring to? What's Wheezy?
Wheezy was, you're right, the wife on the Jeffersons.
The Jeffersons, right.
Who, by the way, was 20 years older than George.
Oh, really?
I mean, watch it sometime. She was literally 20 years old, but I think it means wheezy because you can't breathe when you die of COVID. But he doesn't say, we're not going to treat you for COVID. He says you have a heart attack. So someone has a heart attack, you don't get a bed. Think of that, and I think these guys are serious because you've heard other people say it. Think of that in practice, not in theory, in practice, where someone has a heart attack, they call an ambulance, and what is the ambulance? I mean, is he vaccinated? Oh, no, he's not. Well, too bad.
Just leave him right here.
You got to tell, someone shows up at the hospital again with a broken leg, some high school soccer player breaks his leg. Sorry, can't take a bed. That kid didn't get vaccinated. You're not going to hear it from Biden today or from Psaki, but is that the official position of the establishment now, that you will not be treated by doctors? I mean, there are doctors coming out and saying they're not going to treat people, and nurses, and not going to treat people if you're not vaccinated. I guess it's just an effort to persuade people, but that is scary when you think about it, saying we're not going to treat you again. If you're a smoker and you end up not with lung cancer, but with a broken leg, we're not going to treat you because you're dirty. You know, you're dirty. You're unhealthy. You don't play by the rules. So we're not going to treat you.
So you're telling me the vaccinated doctor who's wearing a mask in a clean hospital situation thinks that they're going to get the disease. So they won't treat you.
They know they're not. They're doctors. They know they're not. But they don't like the attitude. They don't like these people's attitude or their politics.
Got to change the thing. The wrong thing.
There's literally no, Democrat. There's no liberal who's holding out. You know, it's all. I guess there would be if you get 60% of the black population not vaccinated. But there's no fanatic. There's no real passionate. Liberal who's saying, I'm not going to get vaccinated. You can't make me, that kind of thing.
Yeah.
There's just people, I guess, who are skeptical. African-Americans are skeptical, and for good reason. And a lot of them are have underlying conditions. They're older, they're obese, they're fat, whatever. So they're going to die. There's going to be deaths. And you know what Stern's going to do? Do you know what Kimmel's going to do? They're going to cheer. They're going to applaud when poor, obese, sickly African-Americans die. Those guys are going to say, good. Just like they do. I heard Stern do this yesterday, talking about the conservative talk show host. Those three guys, conservatives, including that Phil Valentine, who was pretty popular and well-liked. They danced on his grave. They said, screw him.
Yeah, he was laughing about it.
Yeah, laughing about a dead 61-year-old guy with, wife, kids, family, because he didn't get the jab. He deserves it. That is scary. Obviously, you're not going to get that kind of rhetoric from Biden today, but you are going to get a clear-cut picture. It's going to be, he's going to label it very simply so everyone understands. This is a pandemic of the unvaccinated. This is a problem because of unvaccinated. That's it. He said he was going to get the virus under control. He failed. He didn't. Something like 180,000 Americans have died because of Joe Biden. If it weren't, if Biden weren't president, they would all be alive today. That's the standard he set for Trump. He literally said every person who died of COVID under Trump would be alive if not for Trump. So we're just going to play by his rules. Every person who's died since January 20th, that's all the fault of Joe Biden. He's going to pass the buck the way he always does and blame the unvaccinated. Get ready. It's going to get ugly. But let's get back. Let's get to a few more things here, yeah. Carano. One more thing on Joe Biden.
Sure.
I once said this to Cullinane like a year ago. I said, I want every day, I need you to keep track of the gaffes, keep track of the blunders by Joe Biden. He wasn't even president yet, but there was something every day. It's your job. I mean, it's not easy because there's so many. But yesterday, this one made me laugh out loud. If you missed it, Joe Biden is so out of it that he is looking at a teleprompter. This was on the road too, right? He was outside somewhere.
No, I think this is the one where
he's in the White House.
Yeah, yeah.
All right,
I got the video for it.
All right, we got the video. The one outside was the one where he said the people were heckling him. Yeah. They were big fans.
Big fans.
There was two yesterday. There were two great Biden moments. One, if you missed it, he's reading the teleprompter, and I assume they write it differently when he's not supposed to say it. It's like in parentheses,
italics or something.
Italics.
Yeah, right.
But he literally reads that it says he's supposed to turn and walk away now, which is, they don't know what to do. That must be so important. Turn and walk away, stupid. They must type that in there in caps, exclamation points. And the dummy reads it. Let's listen.
I'm supposed to stop and walk out of the room here. I'm going to stop. But with your permission, I'm going to walk into the room because I want to say hello to all.
Yeah, he's already in the room. He's got the
and people are laughing like he made it. That must have been an uncomfortable laugh. I would have loved to see the faces of the people in the audience there.
He literally says, I'm supposed to turn and walk out of the room now. That's what it says on the teleprompter. He's Ron Burgundy.
Team, I'm Veronica Corningstone.
And I'm Ron Burgundy. Go fuck yourself, San Diego.
But that wasn't, that was funny. Good lighthearted moment. But the thing in, where was he heckled? New Jersey?
I think, well, he was talking about the storm. So,
yeah, so
somewhere
that was a couple of days ago. So, because he was with Schumer.
Yeah.
And he's talking about the storm and these people that were behind a fence, they kind of stood up on something, ladders or whatever, and heckled him about leaving people behind in Afghanistan. And they would just keep yelling and you abandoned Americans. And I said this on Twitter, get ready for this. This is going to be a thing. And it might happen Saturday in Shanksville or in Ground Zero where he's going to appear because people are angry. They know he abandoned Americans in Afghanistan. They know there are 13 dead service people who would be alive today if not for Biden trying to have a good photo op on September 11th. And we've gone over that. But there's going to be people who are going to heckle him. And it's not just, you know, Trumpkins. It's people who are pissed about what he did, pissed about the worst foreign policy debacle in our country's history. But he got heckled, and he decided to just lie about it. And everyone and Schumer like, yo, yeah, yeah, yeah. But listen, let's listen to Biden talk about the hecklers.
We're shouting or complaining. No. Every one of them were thanking me as if it was something special. I mean it sincerely. That I was here.
They ain't gonna do shit. Leave them in ruins and leave Americans behind.
Shit.
Leave Americans behind.
That's fucking crazy.
He will leave you behind. You guys protecting him. He'll leave you guys behind.
That's crazy.
Leave no American behind.
They were thanking him.
It was a special occurrence that he was there. I mean, so special.
I think people, like you say, in the room, it's uncomfortable, are sitting there going, is he joking? Because he says, I'm serious. He's not joking. He says they were thanking him for coming. And then we heard actually what they said, and they kept going too. Those hecklers were relentless. They'll do their best to protect him from those people in Shanksville and at Ground Zero and in D.C. on Saturday. But I have a feeling there's real anger out there, and some people are going to make their feelings known. But
I mean, the right can be just as nasty as the left, and the left have been using nasty tactics, you know, with the Antifa burning down cities and stuff. The right's going to start to do the same thing.
Well, they don't tolerate it, though. It's, again, two-tier justice system. The right, you know, burns a building or smashes a building, they go to prison. the left, Kamala Harris, bails them out and they're free to murder. I don't know. Did you see a guy who she bailed out, her fund bailed out, just murdered someone? That's the kind of people she freed from jail. But we have the best example of the two-tiered system ever. Larry Elder appearance. Let me do Shay, and then we'll talk about Larry Elder and this amazing hate crime on the streets of L.A. yesterday. And we'll ask, what if the roles have been reversed? But first, let's talk about Shay. This is for you homeowners and home builders out there. Did you know that Shay Concrete has a huge selection of precast concrete steps? Of course you did. I've been telling you about this. This is the best thing. I think it might be the best thing they do is their precast concrete steps. Whether you're building a new home, you need to replace an old staircase in an old home. Shay has great values with designs for any home. Available in concrete, or you can customize the steps with beautiful stone, granite, or brick. A new staircase can dramatically upgrade the front entrance of your home. In most cases, they can remove the old stairs and have you walking up your new front steps within hours. Just like that, you call Shay, they come over, they take the old steps away, which, by the way, they're really heavy. That is a pain in the ass. They take the old steps away. They put the new steps. You can sit in the window with the AC cranking and watch it all happen. And when they're done, your house looks better and it's worth more. This isn't an expense. This is an investment in your home. Check it out. You can learn more about Shay's precast concrete steps at shayconcrete.com. And by the way, you can also look for a job there. You can go to Shay Concrete or get on shayconcrete.com. They're always hiring. It's a great company, a great place to work. Maybe it's time for you to upgrade your profession and go work for Shay. Check that out as well at shayconcrete.com. All right, if you haven't seen it, and if you haven't, I don't know where you've been. Where you've been, you got to see it.
We didn't see it on TV.
That's true. You're watching the wrong channels, or you're not on on social media, because it made the rounds. That's a good point. It's a great example.
I mean, did it make the rounds?
This is another great example. We talked about it the other day, the corruption of the mainstream media. This is a great example of the utter corruption of the mainstream media. Larry Elder, who is, God willing, the next governor of California, he'll probably lose. They'll rig it, but he's giving it his best shot. You got to recall Gavin Newsom and elect Larry Elder, a black conservative, very well-known talk show host. Smart guy. Everyone likes him. All decent people are rooting for him. He's also, an African-American from South Central, I believe. So he's walking down the street campaigning. He's got people around him, big guys, kind of security. And this is so bizarre and so offensive and so outrageous that I thought even the corrupt media would cover it. But a white woman, with a gorilla mask on, mocking Larry Elder, throws an egg at him and, by the way, assaults one of his people. It's all on camera. I said this last night, and I believe it 100%. If that's a Democrat, black Democrat, and a white protester with a gorilla mask, the person's arrested, charged with a hate crime. That person there'd be no bail. That person would do hard time. We don't know who the woman is yet, even though it's all on video. We don't know if she's going to be arrested and charged with a hate crime, which clearly it was. They were calling him boy and son and harassing him for having the temerity to, run for governor. How dare you? We don't want your kind around here is essentially what they're saying. This is not your place. Know your place. It is disgusting. And why it wouldn't... Be greeted with outrage from everyone. Why everyone's not outraged by this? But I think we know, because Democrats are okay with violent racists as long as they're on the right team. But can we listen to it and take a look?
It. Yeah, here it is. There was the egg throw.
Don't touch me again.
And that's the one who smacked
an entourage.
There you go, boy. They seem nice. Those are Gavin Newsom supporters.
Well, and there are a couple of black men in that entourage, too. How can they justify this, seeing a white woman assault, throw an egg at a black politician?
With a gorilla mask.
With a gorilla mask.
It's so disgusting.
How do you, like, the mental pretzels that you have to put yourself in to justify this?
I know, and obviously, again, if the roles were reversed, not only if that's Ayanna Pressley or James Clyburn and a white woman with a gorilla mask throws an egg at him, assaults his security, starts calling him or him boy, a son, and chasing him out as if, you know, he didn't belong there. That would not only be the lead of every, be above the fold in every newspaper, it'd be the lead of every network. And I just saw that guy Tom Elliott from Grabian does this. He's great at this. He watched CNN, so we don't have to. CNN spent 5 seconds on a Carano. 5 seconds.
That person's face would be, if the roles were reversed, everywhere.
We would know all about her. We'd know where she lived, her age, you know, her criminal history. We would know all about her. They're okay with that because they really don't want Larry Elder. They want this black man to know his place.
And he's a huge threat to them.
They hate him. They hate everything about him. Not only would he be a conservative who would, by the way, appoint a Republican to replace Dianne Feinstein.
Well, that's the big one.
1,000 years old and has dementia.
It's 50-50 in the Senate right now.
Huge. It's so huge. And they hate the idea of a black conservative, an optimistic, smart black conservative. That's why they hate Candace Owen and they hate Larry Elder. And they'll do anything to Candace stop him. I heard Trump predict that Newsom's going to win or maintain the office because they'll just cheat. I mean, and Trump's probably right. It's California. They will cheat if that's what it takes, but they'd do anything to stop Larry Elder. Again, if that's Ayanna Pressley or James Clyburn, not only would it be the lead of every news show, but we'd know the person making the assault, throwing the egg. We would know all about her. Her face would be everywhere. And every conservative would be asked to condemn her. They would literally go to every conservative and say, you know, this racist threw an egg at our our person, whether it's a woman, man, our guy, our girl, what do you think? Do you condemn it? Do you want to be associated?
Right.
I mean, they'd literally be asking, like if Trump were in the White House, they'd be asking him about it today.
Yes.
The first question, did you see the racist in the gorilla mask throw the egg at whoever? It would be so big. It would be the top of the news everywhere, all day, every day for the next week.
There would be riots in cities. We'd have.
Yeah, there'd be, right. I mean, they'd suddenly start, you know, throwing eggs at our guys. You know, become this battle. Somehow, they're okay ignoring this blatant racist, violent hate crime because, you know, they just don't like Larry Elder and they just really, really like, you know, Gavin Newsom and the condition that California's in now. They want to keep it. They don't want to mess
highest
it.
Cost of living in the country. The highest cost to buy a home at $850,000. Highest taxes. All these debts that they have to pay. I lived there for 4 years and it was bad 10 years ago. And it was bad then. Like I lived in Oakland and I would walk over homeless people then, but I know it's much worse now.
Yeah, I mean, if you see those kind of video, you know, tours of San Francisco or LA, these blocks of homeless encampments just go forever. Block after block of nothing but tents. You see Venice Beach nowadays. I mean, San Francisco, the Laura Ingraham just did like a tour out there of these neighborhoods, the Tenderloin District.
Yeah.
And Oakland and San Francisco are just a mess and it seems like hopeless. I mean, it seems like if you had any concern for the state, the future of the state, that you would vote to recall the governor and elect Larry Elder just because change. I mean, you need change. What you're doing's not working. What Newsom's doing's not working. And by the way, he's one of the biggest hypocrites of them all. You know, his kids are all in private school, going to school, no masks, and he doesn't want to open the public schools or allow kids to breathe. You know, we know he was in the French Laundry having his, you know, $1,000 dinner with no mask.
$12,000 wine bill.
While shutting down businesses.
Keeping his business open.
And gyms. I mean, it's just, he's the worst. And why you would not want to change for change's sake is beyond me. Just get rid of him. You know, if you don't like Larry Elder, hell, give him a couple of years and boom, you know, vote. Call him if you want.
But
it couldn't be
terrible
worse.
Terrible drought. Their infrastructure is crumbling. People are leaving the state because it's so oppressive. So you got to do something different. I mean, San Francisco smelled like piss when I lived there. Imagine what it smells like now.
It's awful. It's awful. They've destroyed the state. You need new leaders. And Larry Elder it's a perfect commentary on the state of things. That your state's a mess, and you don't even want to consider this smart, conservative black man because you don't want his kind. So let's harass him, chase him. It is scary. I mean, that could easily have been a gun.
Absolutely.
Instead of pull out a gun instead of an egg, and maybe she'd have missed because she missed with the egg. But that's the kind of that's the way they look at this guy. He's such a threat to them.
If you're willing to use and that's a violent act. If you throw something to hit something with it, I know it's an egg. It's still a violent act. If you're willing to go to that length, it's not that far of a jump to pull a gun.
Right.
It really isn't.
Or just think if it's Antifa, you'd throw a rock or a brick or a frozen water bottle.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
I mean, that's what they do. Then they don't face any consequences. But there are people out there that want to, stop Larry Elder at any cost. That is clear. But we got a couple more things to get to. Before I make my big prediction, the NFL starts tonight, right?
Oh, that's
the right. NFL's kicks off tonight. I'm so excited. I miss it so. But Tom Brady takes the field tonight. I didn't even know he was still playing. Did you know he was still playing, Tom Brady?
Yes.
I mean, I thought. He's old. Shouldn't he have retired years
ago?
Yes. Yeah.
I thought he was going to go off a cliff 5 years
ago. I have to mention Tony Blinken because I obviously criticize Biden and Kamala and, you name it, anyone in the regime almost every day. But there's no one as pathetic as this Tony Blinken. It amazes me that the people making the decisions for Biden, whether it's Obama or Rice or Klain or Dr. Jill, looked at him. Talked to him, interviewed him, and said, yes, that's the face we want representing the country around the globe. This is our Secretary of State. It's an important position. It could be the most important cabinet position, at least on the international stage. And you have this weak, spineless, just timid voice out there, this look who steps before the cameras like some nervous kid called up to do an oral report like in eighth grade. And, some kids just couldn't do it. They're shaking and nervous. That's our Secretary of State now, this pathetic little invertebrate. And yesterday he's asked, I just want this one cut.
Because yeah,
yesterday he's asked about the new Taliban cabinet. I don't know if you heard all the details of the Taliban cabinet. It's full of terrorists. They're literally terrorists, former Gitmo detainees. There's a guy with a $10 million bounty on his head. His job is interior minister, which means he's going to be in charge of all the beatings and all the stonings. That's going to be his job. Mullah Omar's son is the secretary of something, defense, or whatever they call him. He's a cabinet member. He's in leadership. They're all terrorists. They're all Islamic fanatics. And a couple days ago, the State Department literally complained that they weren't being inclusive and it wasn't diverse enough because there were no women. I'm sorry, if they had women terrorists, would they be okay with that?
I think so.
They would be. All right. Yeah. So they're not women, but they're terrorists. And the problem the Biden regime has is their gender. Do I have that right?
Yeah. That's correct.
So if you had a woman terrorist, like a woman who'd been in Gitmo, who'd fought the U.S., who'd killed American soldiers, like some of the cabinet members, then they'd be okay. Or maybe if one of the Taliban guys was transgender, would they be okay with that, even though he killed Americans?
I think that's okay, too.
Yeah, I see. Anyway, he's asked about these leaders, the cabinet members, the people in the Taliban leadership now being, wanted terrorists who've killed many, many Americans, our new allies, the Taliban. And this is what this weak squish of a Secretary of State had to say.
Second, with regard to the composition of this government or interim government, I noted the fact that it certainly does not meet the test of inclusivity, and it includes people who have very challenging track records.
You mean terrorists?
Oh,
say the word.
Oh, God, is it? I mean, obviously, I'm not rooting for the Biden regime, but that's America. That's the face, the voice of the United States of America around the globe. And he says, challenging track records. He knows that some of them have literally murdered Americans, literally blown up Americans in Afghanistan and elsewhere. He knows that they were hardened terrorists released from Gitmo. And his answer is they have challenging track records?
I'd say so.
Challenging.
I'd say so.
Not disturbing or not outrageous.
Violent.
Violent.
Oppressive.
Challenging. Challenging is, you know, the Cowboys, you know, are they going to be able to run the ball against Tampa tonight? No, that's a challenge. A challenge? God, is he pathetic. I mean, honestly, at some point, even Biden, or I should say even Obama, Rice, Klain, have to make a decision that someone's head has to roll. Someone has to be fired for the debacle in Afghanistan. I think you got to start with that guy.
Probably.
God, is he embarrassing, uncomfortable. That's just the latest. That's the latest. By the way, they have their ceremony tomorrow, Saturday, to introduce the new government in Afghanistan. Just happens to be on September 11th. And it's a big ceremony. And they've invited countries from around the globe to attend to celebrate the new Taliban regime. That includes China, Russia, and Iran. They're all going to be represented in Afghanistan on Saturday, September 11th. They won't be, you know, here commemorating a sad day in U.S. history. They're going to be there celebrating with the people who harbored the terrorists who brought down the towers, and flew a plane into the Pentagon and into Shanksville, Pennsylvania. What a visual. Can you believe that the president, Joe Biden, wanted to, his whole goal, pulling out of Afghanistan prematurely, making the mess he made, costing 13 service people their lives. That was all in an effort to have a good photo op, a good visual optic for September 11th. And this is the optic he gets. They have a new government filled with Taliban terrorists. The world is recognizing them. You know, soon they're going to have a seat at the United Nations in New York. Same place, by the way, where they flew planes into the buildings and killed 3,000 Americans. And Biden's going to be, you know, in Shanksville or in Ground Zero getting heckled. That's the visual. That's the photo op.
What a world, Jerry.
It is amazing. All right, who do you like tonight? Brady and the Bucks hosting the Cowboys at 8:20 tonight as the NFL season kicks off.
Oh, I take TB, of course.
Oh, yeah. He's a 7.5-point favorite. I'm going to tell you this. He's going to win by 21 points. Tom Brady looks, sounds as confident as ever, you know. He's vaccinated. Are you sure? He's got all kinds of weapons. The Cowboys are a work in progress. Tom Brady's going to put a whooping on Dallas. Dak Prescott is going to have his struggles. There's going to be great energy in that stadium. I hope the NFL fans pick up where the college football fans left off and make it a celebration of America, kind of the way college football was last weekend.
You want to hear the chants.
I want to hear that chant, the F Joe Biden chant, absolutely. But I also want to hear people, you know, singing the anthem and just, you know, sing along to whatever music they're playing in that stadium and just having a blast. Because I think there's a sense of defiance for football fans. Like we've had enough of these measures, these lockdowns, these restrictions. We're not wearing masks. We're not socially distancing. We're celebrating football, which is kind of like celebrating America. That's what we're going to see tonight, I hope, and all weekend between college and the NFL. Football is kind of leading the charge, leading the way back to normalcy and back to a little, you know, sense of pride and patriotism. It's going to be wild seeing colleges commemorate 9/11, including BC, by the way. They're having their bandana game, which is all about acknowledging the 9/11 hero, their lacrosse player, who the red bandana guy, who died on 9/11, a hero saving people in the towers, and a number of colleges will do it, I assume. Yeah, Wells Crowther. If you haven't seen his story, it's great. Google it. The red bandana game, they do it every year. This time they're doing it against UMass. On 9/11, on the day, the 20th anniversary of the death of Wells Crowther, it'll be very, very emotional for BC and for lots of teams. And it'll be a great day in America. Hopefully Biden gets heckled. Hopefully the fans have a good time. And I expect Tom Brady to win, to roll. Here's what I'm going to do. I'm going to pick him every week. I'm going to pick him to go not 16-0, 17-0, and then win three playoff games. Boom, boom. And go 20-0. I told you last year, I'm never, ever picking against Tom Brady again. He's defied all odds. He's done. He just makes you look silly when you expect him to stumble. So he's going to win every week and win another Super Bowl.
Okay, we'll
and
see.
Play forever.
We'll see. I'm going to hold you to that.
And you're picking him too, huh?
Yeah, you got
it. You going to watch any of the game tonight?
I will watch some of the game tonight. More, I'll watch Patriots games, definitely. Sunday will be a bigger Patriots
game. You got to do two things. You got to watch the Patriots. You got to watch Brady. It's still the way it works. I'm looking forward to watching Mac Jones, who I said would start day one. He's starting day one. Cam Newton is gone. Cam Newton says he's got some things to get off his chest tomorrow on Instagram.
Oh, nice.
I don't know what those are going to be. He's probably very frustrated that he can't get a job because he's no good anymore. He was no good last year, but we will see. I will be looking forward to see. I hope he has a funny hat and he gives someone a funny nickname, but I'll be watching to see what Cam Newton has to say yesterday. But we will leave it there for now. Thank you to everybody for listening, watching, and for commenting. And if you want to, you can go to Apple and leave us a five-star rating and leave a review. Tell us how you think Carano's doing. You can still sign up for the Step Up for Colleen 5K, the Ritzer Race, a week from Sunday. That's the September 19th. You can not only sign up and run, you could be on Team Minahan. Not sure. I think you get to meet and get a picture with Kirk.
We should definitely offer that on the show.
Or Cullinane. Yeah, I think. Yeah, you could get a private moment, have a little conversation with Kirk. He loves that. He loves to talk to his people.
But at the very least, you'll see a live show with Jerry and Kirk.
And you'll get to run and beat me for sure. I don't know if you'll be able to beat Carano or Turtle Boy, but you probably won't be able to beat Minahan, but you'll be able to beat me unless you're pushing a stroller. That's how I beat Minahan. That's the big joke. He was pushing those running strollers, but... Anyway, we will leave it there. I'm Jerry Callahan. This is The Callahan Show with Matt Carano, and we will talk to you again soon.
Why am I stopping? No one else stops.
Can I go home?
The Jerry Callahan Podcast.
Finding suitable mental health medications can be a challenge. The GeneSight test may help. Did you know that genetics can play an important role in gaining insight on how a person may respond to various medications? Understanding this may help reduce medication trial and error. GeneSight is a genetic test that analyzes variations in DNA. It shows how genes may affect someone's metabolism or response to medications commonly prescribed to treat depression, anxiety, and other mental health conditions. Visit GeneSight.com for more information.